Good evening, everyone. This is Victoria with the Ask Spirit Now show, and it is so good to be with each and every one of you this evening. I am so excited because I have Joy Turner, who is going to be talking with your animals tonight. So I just want to tell you a little bit about Joy. She has been a bridge between thousands of animals and their humans over the years. She is a spiritual teacher and a leading animal communicator with clients all over the world. She has a wonderful book that is out on ebooks. It is called For the Love of Animals. So you can go to talkwithyouranimals.com to get that book. And so welcome, Joy. How are you this evening?
Thank you, Victoria. I am marvelous, and thank you so much for inviting me to share your show with you.
Well, thank you. You know, my listeners love to hear about animals and the communication of them, and it just sounds like you have such a wonderful practice. And for all of you who have not been to her website, she has her dogs and cats and some beautiful horses on her website. You have such a beautiful spirit about you. So it's a pleasure to have you. I have a lot of different messages that have come through the emails to ask you, but I just want to first ask you what prompted you through your life to get so involved in animals with.
Well, this was not always my profession. I originally went into corporate work just like everyone else does, and what I was doing was helping people, but I wanted something that fulfilled my heart more. And I know from speaking with spiritual guides, they always tell you whatever you've been passionate about since the beginning of your life is what your life's work is all about. Well, I've always been passionate about helping people, and I've always been incredibly passionate about animals. Mm-hmm. And so I had to actually think about what I could do, which a friend of mine, when he heard that, said, "Hello, Joy, what do you do that most other people don't do?" And I went, "Oh, okay, I get to hear things most people aren't listening to, so I could probably do that," although I couldn't truthfully imagine at that point how it could actually support me. It obviously is.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, when you talk to your pets, or anybody else's pets, I should say, do they talk to you like in, can you hear them, or do you sense what they're saying? How do you actually communicate with them?
It actually depends on the animal. Any sense that we have externally, we also have internally. So, yes, some of them actually do speak to me, and I hear a voice that sounds as different for each animal as speaking to different humans would sound for different humans. I also do sense things. They will send me pictures. They do send me feelings. I can smell the smells they're smelling if they choose to send those to me. So virtually anything they're experiencing in their physical sense, I can pick up from them.
Well, have you ever talked to animals about do they have sympathy for us as humans? Like, oh my goodness, I wish they'd get it together type of thing. Cause I mean, I feel like they're very aware. I mean, they have souls. They're here. They're spiritual beings. And I just was curious if they've ever talked to you about, like, I wish my mom would get it together and, you know, feed me what I want to be fed type of thing. I mean, do they like that to you?
They kind of sometimes deliver those types of messages, but they don't typically deliver it from a point of view of, holy goodness, please tell this person to get on the ball and pay attention. It's more like, I want to be your equal, or it's more like, I'd really try to help you learn this thing, and could you explain this to her? And they are just so incredibly patient. I can't think of any human that I have ever known that is as patient in helping us with things as any animal I've ever spoken with.
Right. Well, I have to tell you, Joy, through the years, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, we seem to attract pets at our house. They just seem to come from, no more dogs. And then the most beautiful, unconditional, loving dog will come into our presence. And, of course, I try to find homes for them, but I never do. And I just so amazed at that, how they are able to sense and know, oh, there goes Vicky. Victoria, she's going to be the next one. I mean, I'm going to her. And, can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, just talk to us a little bit about how that all works.
Well, we actually have the same senses, but they have so many more senses that they use all of the time than we do. And you'll see this, for instance, they can sense everything we think. They can sense literally everything we feel. Every time we experience anything, they can feel what's going on inside us, what that does to us mentally, emotionally, physically. That's why a lot of times, for instance, recently now we've begun to see dogs that do all kinds of service for people because they can smell little things like chemical changes that happen in our body. So they're linked to us in ways that we can't even really imagine, most of us. And they also are so linked to our minds that literally it doesn't matter where in the world you are or where in the world they are, they can still sense all of those same things about their people or whoever their next people are supposed to be. They just kind of have this innate, God-given sense of what feels right to them. In other words, in a spiritual sense, we would say what's in alignment with our soul.
Right, right. Well, I have a golden retriever that I adopted about 5 years ago off the side of the road, literally. And she went through my whole entire training with me, Joy, and they gave her the 33rd degree Holy Order of the Dove, because she would take, when you're healing, you go through a lot of emotional changes. So you're a spiritual healer, you understand. And she would, she's elderly, but everyone would say, oh, Vicky, she's not going to make it through the day. And I said, oh, yes, she will. When we finished that particular class and we're done with that particular healing, she was bouncing and happy and running. And she's like 14 years old now. And she weighs 115 pounds. I mean, it was just so beautiful. It gave people inspiration because she just endured it all. And people didn't think she was going to make it. But, she knew. She was just helping us out.
Absolutely. And, the amazing thing about animals when we're working with them, they don't have resistance in them like we do. We have all different kinds of thoughts and feelings and definitions of things that create resistance for us. So they are so much more visible in the way healing can work for them.
Well, Joy, I was doing a meditation with a group of friends of mine, and the message that I got is that I wish our society, and I feel that we eventually will get there, will truly be able to hear the pets, and not just pets, but all animals that are living on this earth with us, because they have such messages for us. And people don't take the time to listen, and they're so aware. I mean, look at the dolphins.
Exactly.
And, it's phenomenal. I'd love to, do you ever talk with the animals as far as the dolphins? Have you ever gotten involved with that?
I talk to all kinds of animals. And, in fact, I have a very special spiritual guide myself of a blue whale. So I talk to them all the time, and I receive inspiration and support from them all the time. So it's a one, and they'll do that for everyone. Mm-hmm. Animals are so, especially things like whales and dolphins, they are so there just to uplift and support. So all anyone has to do is ask them, and they're perfectly willing to include everybody.
Yeah. Well, what kind of, if somebody were listening tonight and they had issues with their dogs or their cats, what kind of work would you say that, I know you do behavior training and all of that, but, if somebody were long distance, how would they work with you? Because you're in Washington, right?
I'm in Washington State.
Yeah, Washington State.
Mm-hmm. And typically the way that works is I do phone sessions. So people would call on a dedicated session number that I have, and we would then speak to their animals and find out, first of all, what the people wanted to know about, and then the animals would respond to them. And it's like a two-way conversation between humans. They get to say anything they want. And we'll find out what's going on inside the animal, what they're thinking, what they're feeling, how they're experiencing whatever the situation is that the people want to know about. And then we'll try to reach compromises. For instance, I can give you an example if you'd like.
Okay, yes.
Okay, just as a matter of fact, yesterday I was speaking with a gentleman who had a kitty who had always, he had her for 13 years, and she always used her litter box. Well, and then he decided he needed to put the box out in the garage, and he had a cat door installed in the door between the house and the garage, and she started to use the house as her bathroom for her number two. And he didn't understand. He knew she was trying to tell him something, couldn't get what it was. From her perspective, he was moving her out to where the trash was because the trash cans were also kept out in the garage. And she felt like he was somehow demoting her. In his thought of things, when she got out of the litter box, some of the dirty litter sprinkled down into the carpet, which anyone who has a cat knows that happens. And then the carpet began to smell, so he had to redo the carpeting, and it was a guest bedroom. So he thought, well, I'll put this box out in the garage, and then no one will be offended by the smell. So she was picking up. He was offended by her going to the bathroom, and he stuck her out where the trash was. That's how she interpreted it. For him, it was completely different. So we reached an agreement once I explained to the gentleman some of the things I do with my kitties. For instance, I put a sheet under their litter box so that any used litter or any sprayed off litter as they get out falls onto the sheet instead of the carpet. So all I have to do is clean the sheet up. And she also did not particularly like the way the door touched her, the plastic flap touched her when she was going out into the garage. So we agreed to do two things. He was going to, first of all, look into putting some kind of vinyl down where the carpet had been in the closet and move her basket or her litter box back up into there. And next of all, he was going to also lift up the door flap so that in the meantime, she could go out into the garage, and she agreed to use the box in the meantime. So there's a compromise. He understood, and he felt really terrible about the way she had interpreted his actions.
Right.
And they came to a compromise that they both appreciated.
That's incredible. I mean, you see, that's the way it should be. That's total communication. That is
exactly.
Just wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you, because we've had several people calling in. Not calling in, I'm sorry. They've emailed me in. But they've, you know, when you have a little twin, especially like a little Maltese little dog, they were twins. And when I mean twins, they were the only two that were in, you know, together from birth on or from conception on. And the little Maltese had died, it sounds like, to cancer. And the other little Maltese, of course, is grieving. And, this listener said, what do I do? I mean, what should I do? And the little Miss Sissy, I believe, is the one that's alive, and little Miss Angel is the one who passed over. Of course, I feel Miss Angel, you know, I would be able to feel her, but she wanted to know what could she do for her little Maltese that is grieving now that has lost the other one. Hope that makes sense.
It does, and I can talk to her directly. I would need the city and state that particular puppy is in and at least the first name of her person so that I could talk to her directly. Or I can tell you generally what I have been told by any number of animals, because this happens quite regularly with animals when there's more than one in a family.
Okay, her name, her name, the person is Mary D. That's the person's name. And it looks like the little Maltese was Miss Angel, who passed away, and little Miss Sissy is still living. That makes sense now?
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you have any idea what city or state Mary is in?
She's in Georgia.
Okay. Let me try to find her.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there she, okay. Angel came to me first, by the way, and she said, you're talking about me.
Oh, isn't that precious?
Yes. Yeah. And she says, do you think her mom is listening?
Not tonight, no. That's why she wrote in, because she
said, well, will you write back to her, please, that she loves her? And please not to grieve too much for her because she's feeling so much better now. And she says she will also talk to Sissy and try to help her understand a little bit better. And Sissy, Angel actually showed me who Sissy was. And Sissy is almost inconsolable in her grief. I would suggest a couple of things. She knows that Mary is also very sad, and one of the things that she would really like is for them to sit down and be sad together. So, in other words, Mary might, for instance, sit with her, and when she wants to feel like she's crying or when she wants to say how much she loved her, sit down and treat Sissy like she's a human, an adult human that has lost her twin sister. And talk to her just like she would an adult human about Mary's feelings. And I'm assuring Sissy that every way that she is feeling is completely accurate. I'm asking her if she knows that Angel's spirit is still close by them, because Angel has told me she hasn't really left them. She's still close by them. And Sissy tells me, yes, but it's not the same. And I'm telling her, yes, I understand. I agree with that. I totally understand what she's saying. And she thinks that she will eventually get over it. She just needs a little more time. Another thing I might recommend is things like flower essences or homeopathic remedies. They usually work very well for both the humans and the animals that are left behind.
I will let her know that then. That's quite beautiful. You know, that lets everyone know that's listening, and those that have not called in, because we are taking live calls tonight. I forgot to mention that. Joy is taking your animal questions, your precious pet questions, so make sure that you call in with anything that you want to know. Now, what's amazing to me and for everyone listening is that we never see or feel, unless we're very in tune, correct, Joy, that our dogs and cats and our other animals are grieving when they lose an animal. I have a question for you. Let's just say, let's take a situation like this. And if a pet like Miss Sissy was alone, would you normally, this is not just specifically on this case, but would you normally recommend that an owner go get another pet when another pet has passed like that? And they were that close?
It actually depend on the animal. Sometimes they really want one, but a lot of times they want to wait. For instance, Sissy right now is not at all ready to have another dog. And when she is ready, she would need to be explained to again that this would be an additional friend, not a replacement.
All right. Just like it would be with a sister. If you lost a sister, you wouldn't expect the new sibling to be a replacement. Well, that is wonderful, and I will make sure this person, Mary, gets that message, because that's quite a beautiful message. Now I have a question for you generally. There are a lot of dogs. Well, actually, I have a specific question, because I'm going to use my own for myself. I have four dogs, and all of them, three of them are rescue dogs, and one of them I have had from birth, pretty much from birth, 8 weeks old, Django. And Django is 12 years old now, and he used to never be bothered by thunderstorms. Now he absolutely goes crazy. And the other two dogs that I rescued, they go absolutely berserk. I mean, I have a queen bed, thankfully, and they're all in there. And but yet I have a little poodle named Snowball, and Snowball is 8 pounds and was rescued in a thunderstorm, believe it or not, in Jasper, Georgia. And funny enough, she, or thereabouts there, and she looks at them like, why, what is y'all's problem? You know, what is it? Why are y'all so upset? And she's just lounging out in the bed like, what is, I mean, she could care less. I think that's
so fast. She actually, by the way, considers thunderstorms a lucky charm for her.
Oh, really? Oh, why is that?
Because she basically found you through a thunderstorm. That's the way she's seeing it.
Well, I have never thought of that, Joy. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. Well, it makes sense because she found, I mean, we don't ever know where we find our pets. I mean, they're there. And, you know, I got a friend that called me and said, you have the most, there's the most beautiful little poodle here. Would you like her? And she has a level 6 heart murmur. And the vet told me back in 2005 that little Miss Snowball would only be here for about 2 years. She said, don't have your daughter be upset about it, but she'll only be here 2 years. And that's 5 years later. So, I love that. That's beautiful. So I want y'all to all be calling in because listen, you got a great opportunity to talk to Joy. A lot of people get so engrossed in listening to you that they just want to hear. And, what happens too, I want to ask you about, do you have that same opinion that cats are a little bit more, is that they pick up more negative energy than dogs do from their owners in protection
of
their owners?
No, actually I don't. I think it's totally not dependent on species. It is much more dependent on personality level.
Okay. Dale is on line 2 from Florida. How are you, Dale?
I'm doing great, Victoria. How are you, Joy?
I'm marvelous. Thank you.
Great. What question do you have for Joy this evening, Dale?
I have a very beautiful, wonderful 15-year-old mutt. Her name is Angel. She's half Chow Chow and half Labrador. She's getting up there in age now. And I understand the connection. And I feel it, but I didn't understand how just fully connected they are to us. Can you communicate to her and ask her, is there anything going on with her as far as pain-wise that I need to address? Is she having any pains or, you know?
She says to me to ask you what exactly you mean by pain, and let me explain something that will help maybe you understand her question a little bit better. Animals, when they are dealing with anything that we would consider chronic, in other words, meaning it's there most or all of the time, they start to consider that their normal way of being. So, for instance, if she were experiencing something and it got to be a most of the time or an all the time thing, she would just then consider that normal. So you might, for instance, ask her if she has pain and she'd say no. Does that make sense?
Okay.
That's why she says she wants to know what you consider pain.
Yeah. Okay, well that answers that. It's that dog psychology that we're not aware of. Well, she seems to be doing very well for her age. I found her in a truck stop years ago and raised her, and she's been by my side since. So we have really become connected.
And she says she thinks that she's doing incredibly well, and she plans on being with you for a long time yet, in her mind, a long time.
What's that? The long
she
time
says she
is how long?
She plans on being with you for a long time yet. And long time is defined by her way of thinking about a long time.
Oh, well, excellent. Every day is a jewel for me with her. It's a gift. And I tell you, man, I really named her right.
she
has been an angel.
She says that she was so honored by being able to carry that name, Angel. She considered that an incredibly great honor to carry that as her name throughout her entire lifetime. And she says she's really worked hard at living up to that, so she really appreciates, although she's known it, she really appreciates you telling everybody else that you think she's lived up to her name.
Oh, yeah, man. The only thing is what is it with her and the other dogs? It's like she has two personalities, and I have a hell of a time with her and other dogs. And, you know, I found her at 2 months old. Is there an issue there I need to be aware of?
She says she has no use for other dogs.
She's what?
She has no use for other dogs. You are her focus.
Okay.
And it's just like other dogs, I have no use for other dogs. They would be, she'd be just as happy if they all left the planet. I'm telling her that she may be, but other people wouldn't be.
Right.
And she just said, oh, well, in that case, then they can stay. They can just stay away from me.
Yeah, she's very alpha when it comes to the dogs.
She
doesn't want anything to do with them. She doesn't like them smelling her butt, and she sure doesn't want them coming around me.
Yeah, she thinks that other dogs are just an annoyance to her, and they have no place in her life.
Wow. Incredible. Well, listen, thank you very much, Joy.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call,
and
Dale.
You take care, Victoria.
VBSRadio.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Joy Turner. We're listening to Ask Spirit Now, and Victoria apparently got dropped from our discussion here, so we're trying to get her back on the air. And in the meantime, I am an animal communicator. I am in Washington State, and we are taking your phone calls today to be able to talk with your animal companions and ask them whatever you'd like to be able to ask them. I also do private sessions. If you're interested in reaching me directly, you can go to talkwithyouranimals.com. You can go to joyturner.com. You can call me at 360-894-5000. You can email me at joy@talkwithyouranimals.com. And get in touch with me any of those ways that you'd like. I also have a book that I've put out called For the Love of Animals, and it's about my life. And it also, I give classes that teach people how to communicate with animals. And the last half of the book is about the information that I provide in my classes. So it can actually help you understand how you can get to talk with your animal companions. Everyone is born with that ability. We simply get taught out of it. And so what I end up doing when I'm giving my classes really is reminding people how to locate that level of awareness inside of themselves and be able to open up all of those channels again and be able to start hearing animals. And once you start to hear animals, it really can escalate from there. You can get to hear all kinds of things. For instance, you can talk with anything that has consciousness, which is literally everything. You can talk with the earth. You can talk with the trees. You can talk with pretty much anything you want to. And while we're still trying to get Victoria back on the line, I thought perhaps I could give you a few little examples of the kinds of information that you can get from your animal children. I had a call from a woman who had a dog that she described as perfect, perfectly behaved. And what happened is she took him everywhere with her until she went on vacations. And then he got left home with a pet sitter. And he was just a terror when it came to the pet sitter. He did pretty much everything wrong. So she didn't understand why that was, and she couldn't keep a pet sitter because he was so badly behaved. And when I talked to him, his first thought was, he had no idea of what he did so consistently that was so bad that she would go away and leave him. And talking to him, I understood that she was going on vacation. So I explained to him what a vacation was. She took vacations with her family and went out of the country. So anywhere that she went, he would have had to have been in quarantine the whole time. And I explained to him what quarantine was. And what I told him was that the reason that she left him with someone that she could trust to take good care of him was because she loved him so much, she couldn't stand the thought of having him be in a cage the whole time they were on vacation having a very good, fun time. And really, it had nothing to do with him being bad. It had to do with that she loved him so much, she wanted him to be as comfortable as he possibly could. And of course, as usually happens, she called me right before she went on another vacation. So she called me back when she got back and said that he had behaved as well for the sitter as he had for her. And that's typically all it takes. Animals love to understand what's going on in your life. They love to understand why what's going on is going on. You can talk to them just like you would another person. You can use simple language. Most animals can understand almost anything. So if you start with the language that you would use with about a five-year-old human child, you'll be sure that they understand all of your words. And another important thing to do when you're talking with your animals to make sure they understand you is to know that every time we talk, we make pictures in our mind. And most of the time, people don't know that, so they don't tend to spend any time focusing on the pictures, which means they don't make good pictures. And typically, we talk so quickly that not only do we not make good pictures, but we also talk like we're watching a fast-forward video. So sometimes they have a very difficult time understanding what we're trying to tell them in a way that they actually get completely. So I talk to people and suggest that they speak more slowly, focus more on the pictures that they're making, and speak to the animals about what they do want. And the reason I say what you do want is because there is no picture in your mind for the word not. So, for instance, if you had a dog and said, don't run in the street, the picture you're making is of the dog running into the street. So then we get angry. I mean, essentially what we're doing is we're telling them to do exactly what we want them not to do, and then we get angry when they do what we're telling them, even if it is different than we want. The other problem with telling them what not to do is literally anything else they do except that one thing would be accurate. Our thought says that if we don't want them in the street, for example, of course we want them in the yard. Well, that's not a necessarily an assumption that the animals are going to make. So you do have to tell them what you do want them to do. And Victoria, did I hear you come back onto the line?
Yes, I'm back on again. Now, were you just talking with Mary from Portland?
No, actually, I was just talking with your audience, no one in particular.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. I don't know what happened. I've never had that happen before. So,
well, I figured we needed to stay on the air, so I just talked to them about how to communicate with animals and kind of gave them a few pointers about what could help their animals understand them better with what they did want.
Well, that's very much appreciative. I wanted to let you know, Joy, that Anya is my daughter, and she has been trying to call in and for some reason has not been able to get in, but maybe what caused the phone to go out, who knows. But anyway, she's 11, and she's a cat. She just loves cats, even though we have four dogs. She wants to adopt this little cat that she saw here in Jasper, Georgia. The little cat's about 8 weeks old, and her name right now is Connor. No, that's not right. That's not the little cat's name. It's Noodle. And she wanted me to ask you if that was the right little kitten for her, because she wants to raise it from a little bitty baby so that, let me explain. When we get cats, Joy, she's always wanting something for her own. But what happens is that they're usually older because we adopt them. And they're set in their ways, and they are very attracted to me. And we're wanting to find a beautiful little kitten for her that will be her cat. Do you understand?
I do.
Yeah.
And this wonderful little kitty says she'd have to change her name. She actually likes the name Jasper.
Oh, how cute.
So she would be happy to be her cat if she will name her Jasper.
Isn't that? And Anya wanted to name her Princess, so I'll have to talk to
her. And she
Anya
says she's
that.
Actually been looking for your daughter.
Really?
Uh-huh.
We just found her this afternoon, and we have not heard back from the animal rescue. So, but it was when we saw her picture, we said, oh, there she is.
Yes, you know, she said the only thing she asks is that you don't call her Noodle because she thinks that sounds like a food.
Well, it does, doesn't it?
Well, it is a food.
We agree.
Yeah, so
I know
like
that I will be getting beeps. I haven't heard any beeps yet, and I do apologize, everyone. I've been off the air, but thankfully, Jory is such a professional because I know you have your own radio show. And I want to just remind everyone to, if you're not getting a chance to call in today, that talkwithyouranimals.com, you can go meet Joy and find out all about what she does. I did want to let you know, Joy, that the Tuesday right before Thanksgiving, I'm going to be re-airing this program. Of course, I don't know, as long as it went slowly, you took charge, so I thank you. And we're going to re-air it again on that Tuesday before Thanksgiving so that people can hear, you know, more about what you do, because I just think it's incredible that you help. And some people that may not have had a chance to listen tonight will get a chance to hear it again. Now, can you share just a little bit more about how parents and especially children can work, you know, how do parents work with their children and their pets to help the bonding when a child, just say like Anya, wants a pet of her own, but they don't feed them and they don't, you know, necessarily do everything. Can you talk a little bit about how parents can help with that?
I can. And actually, one of the things that the children can do is put their scent on, for instance, the food bowls. So it may not be that they have to necessarily feed them, but they can touch the bowls.
Oh, okay.
And that will actually put the child's scent on the bowl. And really the thing that bonds animals typically, again, it's not necessarily 100% accurate, but generally the thing that will bond animals is the one who spends the most time with them.
Okay.
So have your daughter spend a lot of time and love her. The other thing that I found specifically relating to cats and children is that sometimes kids are so wonderful and they so love animals that they kind of want to just glom all over them. There are so many animals that don't appreciate that.
Okay.
So you might want to explain to Anya how she can love the kitty and hold it and pet it, but when it wants to get down, let her get down. If she wants to come over to Anya, let her come over. But kind of also let the kitty do what she wants to do, as much as help Anya do what Anya wants to do with the kitty. And animals always like a very gentle, soft touch.
Okay. Now, I'm not sure if we have a listener. If we do that has called in, just let them come on in, because I don't, I'm hearing beeps and I'm not sure. I usually use my Skype line. So.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Hi.
Hi, this is Mary in Portland.
Hi, Mary. Welcome to the Ask Spirit Now show, and Joy Turner is going to be answering your pet questions. What's your question tonight, Mary?
Well, I want to thank you because this is so interesting. I've never heard anything about this before, but I do have an aunt that talks to her cat, so I've been around a lady who does do that.
Good.
I'm wondering about my cat that died about 1 year ago, and I've had a difficult time getting over it because I had a lack of awareness that he was ill. And so I've had a lot of guilt about how he died without my taking good enough care of him. He had just been to the vet. He had a complete checkup and everything was fine. And about 6 weeks later, he was dead. And I want to know how things are with him.
Okay, and tell me his name.
His name was Little Boy, although he was very large. And
actually,
Portland, Oregon was where we were.
Yes, and he came to me and he was laughing a little bit about his name because he said he should have in the end been called Big Boy.
And he often was.
Yeah, and he says he understands that you feel so incredibly guilty. And he wants to assure you of two things that he hopes will make you feel better. One is that he hid from you anything that might have, in your mind, put up a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew that he was going to need to leave. He didn't want to. He knew you wouldn't want him to. The second thing he wants you to know is that souls always have charge of those things. So even if you had known and even if you did something to help him, he still would have had to leave because that's what his soul wanted him to do.
Okay.
And he wants to know if any of that makes you feel better.
Yes, it does.
And he wants to know if you want him to come to you in dreams or to come visit.
Yes.
And the other thing he says is, so he was an only cat?
He was an only cat. In his early, when I, he was a rescue kitty, a stray, and I did have another cat when I first got him, but then he was my only cat for at least like 5 or 6 years.
And you don't have another one right now?
No, I've been missing him so much.
Can he not come back, Joy?
Well, he can. He said he's not going to come back right now because he has some issues, and I'm assuming that folks may know or may not know that whenever we have issues in our physical body, it's because we've had some kind of an energetic issue. He wants to figure out how to fix that issue so he doesn't have a similar problem in another body. But he does want you, Mary, to get another kitty. Because
yes, I've been thinking of it. Yeah.
Yes, he says he thinks you should actually even go out. Maybe he goes, well, maybe not right now, but certainly go out even like tomorrow and find another kitty, because he says he really, in his mind, opened your heart up tremendously. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to see his passing out of his physical body being the reason that you would let any of that close back down again. So he thinks you need another kitty to be with you so that your heart can stay open. And he's asking you to commit to him that you'll go get another kitty.
I will go get another kitty.
He says, could you tell him when?
We'll be right with the next call.
Well, he knows me very well. He wants a commitment.
Yes, he does.
Okay. I will have a kitty within a month. I'll commit to that.
He says, fine. He'll accept that.
Okay.
And he wants you to know he does still love you very, very much.
Oh, you're making me cry over here.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It's so
thank you so much, though. That's wonderful. I really needed to hear that.
Thank you, Mary,
for
calling in. Thank you so much. We have another caller online. Who is there? Hello? Okay. And, well, that's, Joy, that was absolutely beautiful.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes. A lot of people, I've heard that as soon as they've lost an animal that they have deeply loved, that they need to go out and get, not a replacement at all, because that isn't it, but just something to bring joy to them. And I know that was such a beautiful message, so I really appreciate that. And I want to remind everybody, just remember to go to talkwithyouranimals.com to communicate with Joy. And you need to go there just to look at her beautiful picture with her adorable dogs and cats. I can't tell. It looks like two cats and two dogs.
There are two cats. I have boys and girls.
Oh,
my girl kitty
so
is Venus. My boy kitty is Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
My girl puppy is Amira. She's the one with her head on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And the big boy that you see sitting up is my boy dog, whose name is Logan. And then, of course,
he's
the other picture with the four horses.
I can feel him. I mean, he is like, what an elegant dog.
He is. He's just, they're both something very special. She is probably the sweetest thing I've ever encountered, and he is just the most fun-loving guy.
Well, I want to ask you a question since we don't have another caller at this time. Is a very good friend of mine, Joy, lost her little 7-pound. It looked sort of like a Maltese, but it wasn't really, but that kind of fluffy dog. And her name is Jennifer, and she's down in Marietta, Georgia. She hopefully is listening tonight, but we all know that her dog, a little dog, got eaten by a coyote. Two coyotes came. And we all saw it, those of us that are sensitive to it. But, you know, do you feel, Joy, that a dog has a soul contract for that, or do you think there was a lesson? I mean, that's such a terrible way to lose their lives. But she was gardening, Joy, and all of a sudden she looked up and her little dog was gone. And then about a few minutes later, she saw two big coyotes that were coming to get her other dog. But thankfully that dog got away, and she was like, she never thought about that her little dog was gone at the time. And she thought, well, maybe she was in the house. And then when she finished doing her yard work, she couldn't find her little dog. And we all know that the little dog was you know, killed by the coyotes, but do you feel anything about what may have happened there, why that has to happen?
Well, again, and I've talked to a lot of souls, I've talked to a lot of spiritual guides, I've talked to a lot of animals on the other side. I know that we think there are accidents,
mm-hmm.
but according to souls and spiritual guides, there are no accidents. Things always happen by soul desire. In other words, the soul would have to say, yes, I'll allow this to happen. Sometimes they do it to teach lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they do it because, well, for instance, I know of a dog that actually had a similar circumstance to what you're describing happen, and that dog knew that it was going to be getting very sick very quickly and did not want to spend the last year or so of its life being miserable, so it decided to take an easy way out. So there's all kinds of things, and there are soul contracts that occur between animals and humans and animals and animals and, I mean, pretty much anything. So all of those things do exist, and if you want to tell me the dog's name, I can ask that particular dog.
His name was Rocky.
Okay, Rocky bounces into my head and says to tell his mother, he says, hello! He's very loud. Oops, sorry, that hello made my dogs bark. You know, usually when I say hello that loudly, it's because there's somebody here.
Right.
So, anyway, he's very excited, and now he's talking very softly in my head so that he doesn't make my dogs bark again.
Okay.
It's very funny. And he wants her to know that he made a promise before he came in to this body with
mm-hmm.
one of those, what he's calling dogs, coyotes.
Coyotes, okay.
And this was from a past life experience
okay.
that he had with one of them.
Uh-huh.
So he was fulfilling that promise that he had made to that dog, which was essentially to feed it.
Oh, wow. Boy,
to the
that's
coyote.
Going to be an interesting one. And I just want to let my listeners know that the reason why, if there's anything else that happens this evening, Joy, we have a few more minutes. We have severe lightning here in Georgia. And the lights are going on and off, so this is a very interesting night. Now I understand why my internet went off, because we've got terrible storms outside. So,
yes.
So Rocky had an. I totally understand that. You see, we never look at it, Joy, as pets to pets, or animals to animals. Certainly not a coyote is not a pet, but I've never looked at it that way. And I, you know, you have been so inspiring for all of us this evening because. You know, you have so much to teach us. Can you tell us a little bit about your book?
My book, I was talking a little bit about that while you were gone. The first part of the book is about my life and my animal kids, some of the lessons that they taught me, that kind of thing. And then the second part of the book is the same information that I provide to people in my communication class where I teach them how to talk with animals. So someone could get the book, read the book, and use that information to help them remember, because everyone is taught with the ability, we just get taught out of it,
okay.
to remember how to reconnect to that particular location of awareness
okay.
in you. I did give classes once a year in September. I give classes,
mm-hmm.
and it's a two-day class. People always leave hearing more than they hear when they came.
That love to travel, to go out to Washington State. And I have to tell you, my with all the lightning going on, Joy, I have all my dogs, except little Snowballs, sleep on my healing table. And Goldie, who I rescued, is panting here at the side of my desk.
Is that
and they're
the
all, because the lightning just absolutely panics. And can you tell me why Goldie gets so panicked with the thunder and the lightning? She's my golden retriever, Goldie. I picked her up on the road about 5 years ago, literally off the road. She was about to get hit, and nobody claimed her.
She says, first of all, she wants to thank you, because she thinks she would have been dead if you hadn't found her. So she's very appreciative of you taking her into your life. And she says, when she was out, she learned to be afraid of things is the only way she knows how to say it, because
mm-hmm.
she didn't feel safe. And so certain things still remind her of not feeling safe, and the sounds, the lightning precedes the sound.
Okay.
And the sound is what scares her.
Okay.
You have another dog that it hurts their ears.
Probably Django, my 12-year-old Wheaton Terrier. He absolutely panics, and George does too. George we rescued last year, and he is like a little Benji, and I don't know anything about his past. He's like 6 years old now. He absolutely has to get under the covers. I mean, it is hysterical. It's like a I Love Lucy show when the lightning comes, which we
and
have right now.
And it is Django that just hurts his ears.
Yeah, okay, so it's George then that hurts his ears?
No, Django.
Oh, Django. Django's the older one. He's got...
Hi, I'm lost you again, I think. Okay, so now I'm not sure again who's on the air. But just in case it's me, I will keep saying that George is actually, his ears feel the pressure change when it comes into doing thunder and lightning. Kind of like when you're going up and down in an airplane.
Yes.
His ears get kind of stuffy like that.
Okay.
And that's part of the reason he doesn't like it. It's because of the pressure change and what it does inside his ears.
But Django actually hurts his ears.
Django, the sound actually hurts his ears anymore.
Well, you know what? That must be something to do with age, Joy, because he wasn't like that when he was younger.
Yes, and he tells me it used to not bother him, but now it hurts his ears.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, can you tell by talking to Django if he's going to be with me for a while longer? Sometimes I wonder.
You know, that's generally not a thing souls or spiritual guides or personality levels are willing to divulge because...
Okay.
And here's the reason I've been given, because I'm asked that kind of question often when more mature animals are the topic of our discussions. And
Right. The
reason that I've always been given by the souls and the guides is if you knew that your dog had a certain period of time, you would treat him differently.
Yes, you would. That's true.
And maybe then something that you were learning or something that you were trying to teach or something that you were going to experience between the two of you would change.
Yeah, you know what? You're right, Joy. It would.
And so in order for things to not have that disruption, they typically don't tell me.
Yeah, that's incredible. That is.
They might say I plan on being here a lot longer. He doesn't plan on going anywhere soon.
I hope not. He may not be able to see, but he's been here so long, he knows where everything is. So
yeah, and
go ahead.
He feels even if he left his body, he'd still stay there.
You know, I feel he would. We're so connected. I mean, he's my baby.
He thinks that's his place, so he doesn't see any reason to ever not be there.
Right. Well, that's beautiful. Well, I want to thank you, Joy. I know that we ran over a little time, but we started out late. You have been a wonderful, wonderful guest, and I want to remind everyone to go to talkwithyouranimals.com, visit with Joy, go to her classes, get her book, and remember that we will re-air this again on the Tuesday right before Thanksgiving, so because I'll be out of town, so you'll have a chance to listen to it again. And thank you from the bottom of my heart, Joy, and I hope you'll come visit with us another time as well.
I'd love to, whenever you'd like to. And for people who can't
so
do
much,
this with the radio,
thank you for carrying on the show tonight when I was just like, you know, off. I really appreciate that. That's a true professional, so thank you.
Well, you know, having my own show, I know you can't just have dead air space.
No, I know that. That is so true. And I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in to the Ask Spirit Now show. Remember to go to AskSpiritNow.com if you would want to ask me any questions or need any kind of reading or past life regressions. And I just want to remember to remind yourself to be in gratitude and to ask Spirit Now, because our angels and our masters and our teachers are always here to help us. Have a beautiful, beautiful week, and I will talk to you again next Tuesday, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific for the Ask Spirit Now show. Thanks again, Joy. Good night.
Welcome.